Welcome to Focus on the Community on Memories 107.9 WAMW and the Worldwide Live from WAMWAMFM.com. I'm Grant Schwartzentruber. Each week we focus on a topic important to our community. Focus on the Community is sponsored by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington and Ligoti. Well, this week I'm excited to be on, and we're going to have another show focused on education in our community. And I am joined by Precious Ray, who is involved with homeschooling within the community. And I'm pleased to have you here today, Precious. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
Well, let's get started here and talk about your role in homeschooling in the community. And tell me maybe a little bit about your background.
My background is that I got my teacher's degree at Indiana State University, and that was in music education. I taught for 6.5 years at Bloomfield Elementary School and 4 years in Vincennes at the Catholic school. I taught at Reveille, and then I taught for 2 years at South Knox as the junior high and high school choir teacher.
Wonderful. So do you live in Washington, Precious?
I'm actually living in Ligoti.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you have children?
I have three.
Three children. And are you married?
I am.
Okay. And so how long have you lived in Ligoti or in the area?
Since 2010.
2010. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
You're slightly older than me. I moved away when I was young, and then I moved back in 2011.
So. Okay. All right.
And so you have three children. Maybe tell our listeners about your family and how your kids are educated and what your approach is.
When I lived in Vincennes, my kids attended a Christian school called Wabash Valley Christian Academy. And they did that until we moved to Ligoti. We moved to Ligoti because my husband's dream house was found. He's from the state of Washington, and he likes hills and mountains.
Wow,
and Knox County really wasn't doing that for him.
I understand.
So we found a log cabin in Martin County, and it was really close to Crane Gate. And so that's why we moved. And when we got here, we had a discussion about the pros and cons of public school, of which case I was very familiar with, 9 years experience there. And then the Christian school that my kids were a part of, and the growing homeschooling movement. And we weighed all those pros and cons and decided I would give it a go to be at home, a homeschool mom. So I entered into co-ops immediately so I would have some support.
That's interesting. So at this point, your kids are homeschooled, all three of them. Is that right?
My oldest daughter has graduated. Okay. And she is enrolled at Trinity College. She's getting her naturopathic degree.
Where is Trinity College? Is that in
It's in Warsaw.
Warsaw,
Indiana.
Okay, very good.
Mm-hmm. And then my middle child is enrolled to go to Body Works Massage School. She starts in September. She has other aspirations, but she's going to get her hands-on certification to get it started. And then my son is 16, and he is a sophomore in high school.
Wonderful. And so perhaps tell our listeners, you have a formal role, just from talking to you ahead of this interview, you have a formal role in the local homeschool organization. Is that right?
Yes. Families First Homeschooling Educators.
Okay. And tell me about what that is and then what your role is.
Okay. So Families First Homeschooling Educators Association began in 2010. And it started with a group of mothers who were a part of the Bloomfield Homeschooling Co-op that thought that they could bring that idea to Daviess County. And I believe their first year was at Providence Mennonite Church. That church just happened to open their doors and said, we'd love to have you. It is now presently in the New Hope Christian Church here in Washington. And that's worked out really well for us because they have a really nice basement. They're very, very accommodating. It's a good working relationship, which, as you know, is very important.
Yeah.
So there is a really large umbrella. I do not know how many families are involved in this association.
Okay.
You will have to talk to one of the board members for that larger umbrella. But the association has several things they offer. They offer PE, field trips, workshops, and this co-op. and sports. So my son is involved in the basketball program, and he's also involved in the Wednesday co-op where we all get together and we have classes.
Okay. And let's talk a little bit about that. You call it a co-op, like a cooperative.
Correct.
And it's once a week.
Yes, the Wednesday.
Okay.
The schooling aspect is on Wednesdays. The PE aspect is on Fridays. And workshops are to be determined. Field trips are to be, you know, whatever they can work in. There's other things they offer, like mom's night out and so forth. But the schooling part is every Wednesday morning.
Wonderful. So the co-op, your involvement with that is, you told me earlier, but it's my understanding that you're the principal of that?
Yes. Just this year.
Okay.
So I joined the co-op in 2011 and took my skills to this co-op and became sort of the music teacher. And we put on musicals, and we've had band, and we've had choir, and we've had dance classes, and, you know, just what sign language. I've taught sign language. And I've taught a history class. So the idea of the cooperative is that all the families provide some skill that parent has that she can offer for a class. We, at one point, had probably about 5 licensed teachers that are part of our co-op.
Wow.
So that's what I offer. And I had been doing that for about 4 years before our former principal, Christopher Wiles, who did a fantastic job, ended up moving to Tennessee. And that left that position open. And I enjoy being around kids. And I was ready to take the weight of toilets that needed to be fixed and disciplines that needed to be executed.
Sure.
Yes.
Sure. Well, very good. So you've been in this role then about a year.
Yes.
And how's that first year been? I mean, any regrets? I mean, how's it going?
No, I don't have any regrets. It was interesting just to try to make it mine to say the former principal, who everybody loved, you can't replace that person. You just have to say, what are my skills and what could I bring to the table? And it'll be different, but it seems like people are having a good time.
So. Yeah, wonderful. That's a good attitude. How many people attend the co-op, would you say, on Wednesdays?
I think we have about 120 students.
Okay. And so that, if I understand correctly, 120 come to New Hope on Wednesdays for the co-op.
Yes.
But the umbrella of the local homeschooling organization, I mean, it's significantly larger than 120.
Absolutely.
Okay. And you don't know how many people that is, do you?
I have no clue.
Okay.
We could have as many as 100 families, but, you know, you could ask the president of that board, which I am not on. I'm only on the board of the Wednesday school. So I have no concept really of how many people are involved.
Fair enough. Okay. So it's becoming, I guess just from talking to you, it's becoming very popular. It's something that a lot more folks are doing. And I guess I wanted to get your take, Precious, on why it's becoming more popular. And I'll kind of give you my insight, you know, growing up. You know, I always went to large public schools everywhere that we lived. We lived in Evansville and we lived in Cincinnati. And the homeschool kids that I knew, I mean, they were very bright usually, and they were constantly reading everywhere we went. And they were, to be fair, they were a little bit socially awkward. So change my, you know, maybe my perception of that, or why do people do it homeschooling now compared to in the past?
Okay, well, I'm going to start by letting you know that as a teacher in the public schools, there are also kids who are socially awkward there.
Oh, yeah.
So there's...
I was one of those.
Were
yes,
you
one?
Yes, yes, yes. You know, I might have had some of that myself. Not that I would admit it.
Sure.
On live radio. But socially challenged by itself is not exclusive to homeschoolers.
Right.
Okay.
Fair point.
Fair point. Okay. So I think maybe 20 years ago, the majority of homeschoolers were more maybe religious-based or just wanted to separate themselves. And so it might have had a religious undertone. Now what we're seeing is there is a much more broad reason that people are choosing to homeschool their kids other than maybe their religious convictions. We're seeing kids who are special needs, autism, you know, all those type of learning challenges. Maybe parents have come to the point where they feel like the kids are not getting the individualized attention that they think they could do at home. So I know that's one of the reasons that is happening. I've talked to some of those mothers. And then we have those who really think that they can do a better job and are very bright parents and are really pushing their kids scholastically more than can be done at a school. And I know there's a lot of dead time at schools. So it is possible to do that. Other reasons could be bullying. We're seeing a rise as the disrespect level.
Big issue in schools, and you've got cyberbullying. You've got just kids aren't really necessarily different, but maybe they have the capacity to be cruel in a variety of new ways.
Yeah. And I think when I started to teach in the public school in 1990, the percentage of students that were disrespectful and bullied, I believe, was lower than the last time I taught in a public school, which I believe I ended in 2008. It seemed to me that the percentage was higher of the amount of kids that showed disrespect to other kids and to their teachers. So I think that's growing. So that is a reason why certain parents are pulling their kids out, because they don't want their kids to be bullied. And then we have the school shootings. I know there's some parents that are pulling their kids out for safety. So, you know, there's just a wider variety. I know for me, one of my reasons was because our family is a musical family, and we travel and we sing different places. And I thought I could, you know, really focus on that more if I homeschooled, which we have. We have a CD out.
Hey, hey. How can I buy that CD, Precious?
I will give you one for free, Grant.
What? What a deal.
Actually, it was recorded here in Washington, Alan Pancake's recording studio in his basement. But we've performed down in Nashville, in North Carolina, and as far west as Washington State. And homeschooling gives us that flexibility. And might I add that my son, 16, is wanting to make a career in the entertainment business. So we're making trips to Nashville. He's already laid his first scratch tracks for his first song he's written. And he just had a photo session last week. So homeschooling gives me the flexibility to do what our family needs to do for their careers. And my husband and I feel like we can give that to them.
That's very interesting. I just want to, for the listeners, I want to update them. We're on with Precious Ray, who is a local homeschooling mother, and she is the principal of the co-op, for the homeschooling co-op here in Daviess County and the surrounding areas. And this has been very interesting for me thus far. I appreciate your time and coming on. So we talked about different reasons for why people might homeschool, and I think what you said made sense, that there's a lot more reasons in 2018 than maybe you would have done it in, I don't know, 1988. Is that right? 30 years
right.
ago. Is that 30 years ago?
Don't make me do math.
That is 30 years ago. I think that's
okay.
Wow. I'm feeling old right now. But maybe with all that freedom, and if I understand correctly, in Indiana,
yes,
it's a very loose state for homeschooling. I mean, you don't have many of the oversight requirements that in other places. Tell me about that. Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing?
Well, that's a very interesting question, because I actually have mixed feelings about that. I think in large part it is a good thing, because parents have the flexibility to instruct their kids as they see fit for the individualized training. But, you know, I think this is something I think is important for homeschoolers to have some accountability. So I think from what I'm seeing, the largest part of parents are doing that, whether they're holding each other accountable with parents, or they're involved in a co-op where there's accountability, or they're involved in an association like Indiana Homeschooling Association. There is plenty of resources for you to have accountability. But I'm not going to lie. I've seen some parents that just choose to live in the isolationist disposition, and they refuse to have the accountability. And I have seen a few cases where I thought, maybe, I mean, that's not my style. Mm-hmm. And I think their children would be better off if they had more accountability. But that number is very, very low. And I think sometimes at the state house, they might hear about those kinds of families and not hear enough.
The outlier in the data, the people
right.
that are really
taking
advantage of.
Right, but let me be clear. As a teacher, I witnessed a teacher across the hallway from me who taught his kids by video. They came into the class, he put on a video, and he stayed out in the hallway, left the kids unattended. So I guess what I'm saying is there's pros and cons in everything you want to do, mm-hmm. and every institute can have some abuses and some really good things. And homeschooling is no different mm-hmm. than a public school where there's some really great stuff, and occasionally you have something that doesn't
some
go
drawbacks.
So well. Yes.
Fair enough. So let me ask you this. There's pros and there's cons to it, right?
Yes.
Okay. Tell me some things that you touched on some things that you enjoy about it, and I'll let you, if you want to add to that, but maybe tell me some things that you don't like about it. Tell me some things that, I don't know, maybe if, not that, not regrets, but just some things that you would like to see different, either in the overall package or you with your home specifically.
Okay, well, a regret that I have, excuse me. A regret that I have probably is that I didn't really nail down my record keeping in my early years. I was a little bit too loose in that realm, but it was actually through a workshop that the Families First Homeschooling Educators offered that talked about, you know, some different record systems out there, and that helped get me back on track. So, I mean, that's a regret that I should have been more proactive earlier.
And so tell me about that. What is the record keeping requirement? Precious.
Well, in the state of Indiana, you're supposed to record 180 days. That's
a requirement. That's the same as school, right? I mean, that's the same as public school, private school.
Yes.
Okay.
So you have, that's the law. You have to show and keep a record of that. The other thing that the Indiana law requires is that we make an attempt to teach a similar course that the public school does. So you can find these things online, like what the public schools are offering and what grade and so forth. Of course, if you want your child to go to college, you're wise to look at the Core 40 requirements because that is what colleges are looking for as people are entering into the colleges. So, you know, there's all the resources are out there for you to succeed at homeschooling if you'll take advantage of that.
That's wonderful. And a lot of that stuff didn't exist, right, in 1988.
Well, I mean, because the state wouldn't recognize it really as a credible way to teach the kids. And I think as more college counselors are recognizing the smarts of these kids, there's more of an open policy with colleges. They require you to show that the kids went through the required curriculum. And that's pretty easily done. Usually how that happens is the homeschooling mother brings the folders and the binders and shows what curriculum they had, the summary of the course description, and the records. And the college counselors seem to be quite satisfied with that. Many homeschoolers are finding success in college.
Okay. Well, that's very interesting. I mean, do you know of folks locally that have you know, maybe an examples that you can give to the listeners of folks who were homeschooled all the way up through the end of high school, and then they, you know, they went on to do, you know, some, I don't know, went to Harvard. I don't know, something like
well,
that.
Well, let me be clear. I don't know anybody who went to Harvard.
Okay.
But a homeschooler family, homeschooling family in Jasper, their kids went all the way through kindergarten through 12th grade, and their son just graduated from Vincent University in the police force career. And I think he wants to go on to be a Homeland Security advisor. So, you know, that's one example that pops to my mind.
Sure. That's very interesting. And it's neat to hear about the different situations and how different people do it. Maybe tell me just to put, so obviously this is still less common than the, taking kids to public school or taking kids to private school. But for folks who aren't, you know, actively involved in this type of thing, talk a little bit about the content that you use to educate kids. It's my understanding that there's lots of different options out there now.
There are so many different options. It used to just be a Becca. It's a publishing company for homeschoolers. Okay. And I think it was a Baptist-based.
So religious content primarily.
Right.
Okay.
Now you can find a curriculum that's not religious content. There are so many different resources out there. It's really amazing. They have conventions every year with all the different publishers showing all their material on display, and you can go around and pick. Just like when I was a school teacher and I would go to a convention and have different vendors try to sell me on their product. So what I use for our science curriculum is Apologia. Love it. My son is in biology. Here's an example where the co-op is really supporting what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. We're going through biology right now, and we're on the chapter of crayfish, for example. And Doran just dissected a crayfish in biology at co-op last week.
Hello. Doran is your son, correct?
Doran is my son. Okay. Yes, yes. So I don't like to dissect. I got out of it with both my girls via co-ops, and mm-hmm. so I'm getting to do that again with Doran. He is in a class. I believe they have almost 50 kids. Wow. And they've divided it into three different classes. So each class has about 15 kids, and that class is being taught by a licensed school teacher.
Wow.
Who decided not to go into the public school, but teach her kids homeschooling. So yeah, there's an example where the co-op is supporting what I'm doing at home. Teaching textbooks is the math that my son is using. He's in Algebra 1. And, I love history. I'm using an Abeka history program. My father's an author. He's published many books. My kids have here's another example of homeschooling being, a positive,
right.
Something different. He's an author, publisher, has several books, and all three of my kids have went through writing course with him. That's pretty cool that your grandpa gets to be a part of the curriculum process.
That is very neat. It's interesting to hear about all these options that you've got at your disposal. Well, we are going to have to get wrapped up here, Precious. I really appreciate your time today. I'd like to, give you the last wrap up here. The last word is what I frequently do with the guests. You've done a wonderful job today, and I know it's, you come into the studio, you don't know what I'm going to ask you, and so I just appreciate your frankness and your honesty.
Thank you.
Providing the pros and the cons. I am on with Precious Ray. She's the principal of the homeschooling co-op here in Daviess County and the surrounding areas. So Precious, maybe just give us a wrap up on homeschooling and your nutshell on the pros and the cons and what you want to say.
Okay, I think I will end with a sense of community. I believe that one of the greatest things that we can do is to contribute to our community. So getting all the schools, whether they're public school or homeschools, to engage and give back to the community is very important. And I know some of our kids are involved in the Rotary Club here in Washington. We've had some of our kids involved in Junior Civitan in the Ligoti and Jasper areas. And we focused on, I remember when a tornado went through Washington several years back, our Junior Civitan Club, many of them and from our co-op class, helped pick up debris. Same thing happened in Vincennes. We took a group to Vincennes to help clean up. We've collected coats for those who were in need. So, trying to put these principles that we teach our kids to be a good example and to give to people. I'd like to see that in the homeschooling co-op as well as everywhere else. And I think the more that homeschooling families can really get that aspect, the more that the community will embrace the homeschooling initiative.
Absolutely. Positive character development, which
yes.
we talk a lot about on this show. I really appreciate your time today, Precious, and thank you for coming on.
You're welcome.
Focus on the Community is sponsored by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington and Ligoti. You can listen to a rebroadcast of today's show Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. on 4-Star Country, the General 95.9, FM 1580 a.m. You can also listen to or download a copy of today's program and past shows by visiting WAMWFMAMFM.com. I'm Grant Swartzentruber, inviting you to tune in every Saturday morning at 8:35 a.m. on Memories 107.9 WAMW and each Sunday morning at 95.9 and 1580 WAMW as we focus on the community.